Wired Jesus Podcast, September 30th, 2011. Creative Commons licensed.
Initiating startup sequence.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast. Wired Wanderings of a Postmodern Film.
Look, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, yeah, but just because God doesn't answer your prayers doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Well, then why didn't he give me what I wanted?
Well, God can't just answer every prayer and suddenly give you everything you want. That takes all the living out of life.
What do you mean?
Where have you been for 10 years?
I freaked out, joined the army, went into business for myself. I'm a professional killer.
Oh, do you have to do postgraduate work for that, or can you jump right in? I'm curious about that.
It's an open market.
Open market, yeah. That's good. Wow. 10 years, man!
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast. The Wired Wanderings of a Postmodern Pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and I'm glad you've come along for our journey together. A few months ago, my friend Mark Allender, who's the host of the Bode Radio podcast, posted a story on his Facebook page that he had come across from ABC News about atheist pastors. Those interviewed in the story were largely pastors coming out of evangelical or fundamentalist Christian churches who had lost their faith. The cause? Believing in a literal interpretation of the Bible, that life is about keeping on God's good side to get into heaven, and the never-ending encounters with the dark side of life and people, including inside the church. Now, put a stake through the heart of believing in Jesus. That wasn't the catch, though. The focus of the story was that these pastors didn't leave their congregations. They didn't leave pastoring at all when they had their faith crisis. They are all still active pastors leading congregations because they don't see any other alternative. A bad economy doesn't leave many job options, and truth be told, the skill set of a pastor doesn't really transfer to many other professions. So these pastors have chosen to continue their jobs in a mission that they don't personally believe in anymore. Now Mark, who's a longtime Wired Jesus listener, gave me a heads up to check out the comments. And the comments were just as amazing, both on his Facebook page and on the ABC website. Within his own group of friends, there was some sympathy. But there were more condemnations of these hypocritical pastors who they felt should get out of the church if they aren't believers. And there was a certain irony in having Mark, who is a Buddhist, argue for some grace for these troubled pastors, that pastors are not exempt from a crisis in faith any more than the rest of us. But in the Facebook stream and on ABC, that charge of hypocrite stuck. So what do you do with that kind of story? As I surfed the news to find other links on it, it became clear that, as usual, ABC and the mainstream press are behind the curve when it comes to covering the realities of our world. In a nutshell, I would argue that the pastoral calling, at least as we now know it, is not only under attack, but it's dying, much like the Western church that we're serving. Now, I know there's a large number of pastors who listen to the podcast. Just there's a large number of you who listen who aren't even Christians. And while this observation, this reality, doesn't come as anything new to those of us who are in the trenches or in the pews, as the case may be, it's striking how this is becoming more evident outside of pastor people circles. There was a time, up until, I'd say the mid-20th century, that the title of pastor carried some significance and respect in American culture. Pastors were often the best educated people in any town or village, with college-level schooling and backgrounds in history, languages, and the arts. Universities were founded and aspired to have schools for the three great professions: lawyers, physicians, and pastors. You look at the Ivy League schools like Harvard, that was the cornerstone. And there was a time when the word pastor actually carried some weight, not only in a congregation, but in a community. Well, we don't live in such times anymore. I've never lived in them at all, for that matter. On some days, I think it's a bad thing, but that's mostly on bad days when I wish my opinions were more like a magic wand and people just automatically agreed to whatever I said. Now, that doesn't work with my wife or my sons, and, you know, in the long run, that's really a good thing. We have conversations and discussions rather than proclamations by King Tom, and that's infinitely better. But the toll of sexual and financial clergy scandals, as well as the ongoing marginalization of the church in American culture, is starting to show. And pastoring is becoming a dying art in the traditional church. The result of this trend of recent decades, the last 4 or 5, is that fewer and fewer college graduates are considering becoming pastors, at least in mainline denominations. I'm 47 years old and considered young demographically to be a pastor. Less than 25% of our 14,000 pastors in our tribe are my age or younger. And there are some denominations where it's under 5%. Yeah, it's good for my ego. It's bad for the larger church. Add to that, clergy have shifted in the last 40 years from among the healthiest professions to among the unhealthiest, with the most common maintenance drugs used by pastors being antidepressants, gastric reflux, and high blood pressure. The burnout rate is high. Pastors are in short supply. But the pattern creating the problem is largely unaddressed. Right now, I can count nearly 10 pastors, 10 friends who pastor around the country who are in crisis. Some where pay cuts have forced them to the point of going on food stamps, or leaving ministry entirely. One is living in one part of the country while the rest of the family stays at an underwater house states away. Another who's being emotionally beaten by a congregation. A congregation who have attacked and driven out every pastor in the last 30 years, but the bishop covers it up and tries to bring in pastors who don't know the situation to go in, and then they get beaten again. Another where a congregation wants to leave the denomination over issues around homosexuality, but because the pastor doesn't agree with them, they're now personally attacking him and his family, while at the same time trying to convince him to go with them. There I know several pastors who know their congregations will be dead and closed in 10 years or less due to financial collapse and fights. Another where the church leaders just said flat out, you work for us, you do what we want, and don't tell us what the Bible says because you are wrong. And all these are folks I've spoken to in the last 4 weeks. Needless to say, When Forbes magazine earlier this month listed clergy as the number one of the 10 happiest professions in this country, it was universally greeted in my circles with a big WTF. Now, one Facebook group that I'm in with about 4,000 pastors went off on a long list of complaints wondering where in the world Forbes got this information and do they even know any pastors. And it's a long list of complaints: pay cuts, personal attacks, blame games, out of control neediness and congregations, people who seem more concerned about preserving a clubhouse than being missionaries for Jesus in a hurting world. Long list. But it does beg the question, what happened? What has changed? And I would say that somewhere along the way, pastoring devolved into being a chaplain. And I don't say this with any disrespect to those who, in the military or hospital settings, who are chaplains. I'm relating this directly to congregational settings, where pastors have become a community employee who provides personal care and commentary at the direction of a board. Creativity, mission, discipleship takes a back seat to making everyone happy. A low standard of living imposed on pastors as being a sign of their true faithfulness. And perhaps most often anymore, for the pastor to be the scapegoat for every complaint levied by members. The end result has been the death of pastoring as being spiritual leadership and discipling, like the apostles in the early church, to that of somehow being a Borg drone, like in Star Trek, where the congregational mantra of "you shall service us" triumphs over the biblical mandate to go and make disciples.
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
What drove this home for me was an online pastor's conference that I watched this week, called The Nines. It was fascinating to listen to the pastors and speakers, as well as following the Twitter feeds from some of my colleagues. Now, most of these speakers were coming out of evangelical, non-denominational backgrounds. Many of the congregations they served are very young, having been birthed in the last 20 years. But the intent of the conference was to encourage pastors in ministry and to provide tools for leadership. The thing was, they may as well have been from another planet for all that they were saying, and it had nothing to do with the usual divides between mainline tribes like mine and conservative groups. It wasn't stances on homosexuality or women pastors, or, you know, was Jonah swallowed by a whale, or that type of literal stuff. What made them seem like Martians was the model of leadership that they were operating out of. The role of pastor that nearly all were describing was very different from the Borg churches many mainline pastors serve today. I mean, to talk about the care of people in crisis or homebound because of age as something that the whole church does, that lay people do, so they have small groups of people who care for each other and care for others, and to lift this up as being a normal part of congregational life and simply a given as being the church, is something you won't hear among Lutherans or Presbyterians or Methodists. The response in our circles is, that's the pastor's job. We pay them to care for us. You know, the nine speakers talked about time for pastors to pray, to get away for planning and rest with their families, to get at least one day off each weekend to be with family as a responsibility to model for the rest of the congregation. that's not a language or a model that we fostered and certainly not rewarded in our tribes. I still remember one time when I had an angry member years ago at another congregation show up at a church council meeting and accuse me of loving my family more than the church. Considering the firestorm that ensued when I said he was exactly right, well, that drove home the point that that was the wrong answer, even if it was biblical. So what's the point of all this? Is it just me whining? Well, there is some of that, both for myself and the other pastors who are feeling stressed out and unappreciated that I've talked to recently. I mean, after all, there's a certain expectation that as pastors we listen to everyone's complaints, that we should do something about them, but we should be meek and mild and keep our mouth shut as far as our own viewpoints. So that type of venting is always good, and so, you know, pastor people, you know, revel in that moment. But the point is that I really believe there is something momentous going on in the world, and things are changing globally and changing here in this country in ways that are frightening and in ways where there really may be no turning back the clock. In the same way, people wonder if this new normal economic disaster brought by the boomer generation will ever resolve well for those of us who follow them. There is a new normal disaster going on in the Western Church. I mean, it's been well underway in Europe, and it's devolved into Christianity has become a largely symbolic state church with subsidized clergy for the 3% of the population who claim to be Christian. The disaster here, and, you know, really I think the better word is what is dying here, is that the economy is finally going to put to death the Borg church and the drone pastor. For decades, we've had the luxury of small congregations that often function as clubs with caretaker pastors. I mean, the average size in our tribe, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the average congregational size is about 130. That used to be enough to support a full-time pastor. It's right on the edge now. And not for long if the pastor has any experience. These congregations, and smaller, and whether they're healthy or whether they're Borg, they are no longer financially viable. They must close or merge or reduce the pastor's time to less than full, because they're in places that the population's in decline. If they are to survive, that's what they're going to have to do. And the pastors? Well, like coal power plant operators in our new green economy, we have to retool. Because our caretaker skills don't have a place in the current business market. Who at Apple or Google is going to pay for a full-time handholder or motivational speaker? And for pastors who are looking to move into larger congregations, large congregations need senior pastors with administrative and vision skills that small congregations don't reward or cultivate or want. So if you haven't spent time in that, there's no upward mobility to larger congregations. They aren't going to be interested. So it's a scary time, with churches dying, with pastors feeling lost and ill-equipped and going through the motions, even though they have lost faith in Christ or his followers. The thing is, all this, as bad as it seems, is probably good and long overdue. Like I said in a podcast a few years ago, and I'm going to say again now, in recognition of the breakup of REM, it really is the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Well, mostly. The first model of how to be the church, the role of apostle pastors, of serving rather than being a passive congregation or community, a mission focused on the world rather than ourselves, was laid out in the first century, and it's right there in the New Testament. The crises of the first century, a troubled Roman Empire, a persecuted church, a changing world and culture with clashing values, they are not that different from our 21st century. The first century church survived, thrived, and engaged its world, and we're on our way to doing the same thing. But before you can have a resurrection, you have to have a death. And I think we're in the midst of that. Like those atheist pastors, too many congregations. And here I'm talking mainline and quite often congregations that have long histories. Too many congregations have become atheists to their purpose. They've been continuing a mission of self-preservation when they have lost faith and vision of what they were first given. And so you have that clash between the vision presented in the nines, which are newer congregations engaged in the cultural realities, versus the dying that's happening among many of us who are still looking back 50 years and thinking we can go back to that. That somehow doing things the way we always have is somehow going to bring about a new result. For us in the mainline, it's a dying and rising moment. Everything we have thought and believed about congregations, their mission, how they are maintained, what they have to do, sheer economic realities are going to force us to rethink it all. Everything that we've thought and taught about being a pastor, what we've taught in our seminaries and what congregations try and teach their pastors, our mission, how we maintain ourselves, our family, and a job in a congregation, what we are called and are actually able to do as pastors within these new realities. All these forces are going to force us to rethink it all. But I think most importantly, and here's the hope and shock of what I heard in the Nines Conference, what I see emerging where I'm at right now, and even with my friends who are in crisis, at least some of them, is that the people who gather on Sundays are being forced, and some are even welcoming, these same questions. They are asking, what is our mission as followers of Jesus? How do we give and support the mission of the church, including neighboring congregations and more than just ourselves? What is it that we, not the leaders, not the pastors, what is it that we are called to do? Not just as members and folks who come once a week or twice a month. What is it we are called to do if we claim this new title, disciple, this first century word for people who follow Jesus? Well, perhaps that is where the happy pastors are that Forbes talked to. I'm certainly happiest as a pastor when people catch a vision from God and give it life and purpose themselves, rather than demanding that I do it for them. For most of us, even at our unhappiest and most unappreciated, most pastors still say we can't imagine doing anything else, that those glimmers and glimpses of God becoming active in our lives and in our congregations power us through the daily pettiness and bored moments that we all have to deal with. I And it's in those God moments that the dying and rising begins to take shape. It's not much of an answer. May not necessarily get you off of blood pressure pills. But it's probably the best answer we have at the moment. So, pastor people listening, hang in there and hang on to each other. It's a bumpy ride right now and everything's changing. But God's still in charge. And for church people listening, as rough as it's been for you, don't forget how rough it can be on your pastors. An occasional thank you goes a long way. And a little self-reflection and digging into the Acts of the Apostles might just change your congregation. And for all of you who are Wired Wanderers, thanks for keeping Wired Jesus on your podcast feed. After a summer hiatus, Wired Jesus is back. So that's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. And as always, we'll see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee. Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.